I ask an interest in your prayers this morning. I appreciate that song, and I was touched by it. I am thankful that I had an old-fashioned mother. And I had my mother, and I know we can all speak about, you know, our mothers. I'll say something just briefly about mine. I had a super mom. And it's like, it doesn't matter what it was, my mom was like at the top. She just, maybe we can all say that about our mothers, but my mother was old-fashioned in that she allowed biblical principles to guide her life. And she was a wonderful wife to my father, a wonderful mother. She was one of those people that got things done, and you rarely saw her doing it. It was just always done. And I still today don't know how she did it all. But that was there. But I'm thankful most of all for the godly influence to have had a praying mother. Above everything else, that is what was most important. From all her abilities and all her skills and everything that she imparted to us as children was that she prayed. And that she was there not only by word to teach us, but by example. And I appreciate that wonderful heritage that I had personally, and I know that many of you did as well. I'd like to speak to you this morning, by the help of the Lord, about the value of a godly woman. We thank God for our mothers, our wives, our sisters, our daughters. And I want all of the sisters here this morning to know that we really do appreciate you. And we appreciate most of all your desire and your purpose to put God first in your life. There is nothing that is of greater value than putting God first. And that is rare in the world that we live in today. It's very rare. Because people, men and women alike, are seeking their own selfish purposes. And I am thankful for that there are still a few women that are faithful, desire God more than anything else in life. And I just want to say thank you this morning. The topic at hand is the value of a godly woman. I'd like us to turn to the book of Luke in the first chapter. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Said in the sixth month, this is Luke 1 reading from verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. I want us to keep in mind that while we don't know exactly how old that Mary was, history purports that she was very young. Like very young. They got married at a much younger age back then than they do today. There are some that put it as young as 13, some 15, maybe up to 18, but that's even getting a little old from what a lot of historians think. So this was a young woman, someone that did not have what we would say a lot of life experience. But she was a virgin, she was pure, and she was engaged, as it were, a spouse to Joseph. And the angel came unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Do you think you would be troubled if an angel showed up, had something to say to you today? I think that would be very, very a natural response for the angel of the Lord to say, "Thou art favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed art thou among women." You might start looking around saying, you're talking to me? Do you realize that right there is an indication of a woman who loves God as one that is not looking to be put up on a pedestal, She's not one that's looking to be esteemed and recognized. Not someone that's doing what she does to get a plaque on the wall. The angel came, though, and said, "You are favored among women." And she was troubled, and the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Highly favored. You see, God was looking to find a woman that he could trust to be the mother of his son. And I've mentioned different times when it is time for a young man or an old man, as the case might be, when it comes time to marriage and look for a companion, young men are out kind of, we say, not playing the field, but praying the field. And saying, "Lord, as I'm kind of interested in wonder if, Lord, who is there that I can marry?" A young man normally is not just looking for a wife. He's also looking for someone that's to be the mother of his children. And you know, that really changes the dynamics when you start kind of looking at a young woman and kind of assessing her character and who she is. It's not just someone I want to go out and have someone to do things that I like to do. Not just someone that I think would be a good wife. But you have to start thinking in terms of, this is someone I'm choosing a mother for my children. I want someone that is responsible, someone that will be diligent to be there for the children. And so can you imagine, just as God was looking out over the women of the world, and he was looking for a woman, a young lady, to be the mother of the Messiah. Do you realize that God was not looking for a bargain? He was looking for value. And I'm not talking about the hardware store that says True Value, which you can read that more than one way. When we say value, we're not talking about a bargain. We're not talking about the cheapest. Yesterday, Renee pulled something out and looked at it and said, "This is cheap. Why even would someone have this?" Because it wasn't worth anything. It's like those Christmas gifts that sometimes are given that really they don't even survive the first use. And it's going to break. And it's junk. The Lord was not looking for something like that. He was looking for true value. By definition of value, meaning the usefulness or quality of something. Something, the regard that something is held to deserve, the importance and worth of something. He was looking for a young woman where there was true, great value. He was looking for quality. And when God found Mary, he found a woman to be valued. He found a woman that he could look on her and say, "She has the attributes and the characteristics that I want the mother of my son to have." Now, this message this morning is to the sisters, but it is also to the brethren, that we would value godly women. And it's also to the young men, to the unmarried. When it's time and you kind of start looking and wanting maybe to move on in life and maybe take a woman to be your wife, I want to encourage you to look for value. Don't just look at the first thing that comes along that shows you a little attention. Don't just look at the first one that you think, "Well, she's got a pretty face." You know, pretty faces don't stay pretty all the time. So that's not where the value was. I don't know what Mary looked like. But, you know, I don't think when God was looking out at all the young women of the world, I don't think he was looking to those who had won the beauty pageant. I don't think that's where God was looking for value. He was looking for their character. He was looking at their values, what they placed importance on. He was looking for something that he could look on and say, I would be safe. And it would be wise for someone like this to be the mother of my children. So there is a great distinction between what the world places value on today and what the Scripture places value on. So when we talk about the value of a godly woman, we're looking, how does God assess value? How does God deem, what does God deem as successful? Well, what God placed value on was what he taught us in the Scripture was valuable and of importance. Someone whose lives reflect the quality that's in the Word of God. So he found Mary, and I want to encourage us this morning to not measure value by the measure of the world, but measure it by God's Word. Measure it by the Creator. What did he say was important? What did he say was valuable? So I'd like to share just a little bit, and for some contrast. The measure of success for a worldly woman, the value of a worldly woman. What measures success for a worldly woman? And I won't list them all, but I'm going to mention a few things. You know, someone that is measured and considered to be successful as a woman of the world, her identity is one that is shaped by the secular culture more than the Scripture. One of those things would be physical appearance, where a woman of the world would prioritize beauty, body image, and desirability. Social status, someone that's successful, a woman of the world. Popularity, influence, how much influence does she have in social circles? There are, in social media, there are those that call themselves influencers. And so you look and see how many people they have following them. Is your success, you sisters this morning, those of you that have social media, some of you may not, and I commend you if you don't. But if you do, do you ever look and see how many people are following you? How many people are really interested in what you're doing in life? Is that the measure of success? Do you know in the world, for some it is. How many are following them? Financial independence, a woman of the world, a successful woman of the world. High-paying career, expensive clothing, houses, cars, has the money to travel. And when I say financial independence, I mean a woman that is successful in the world is not dependent upon any man. She has broken through the glass ceiling, and she has earned what she has. And the world says that's success. Keep in mind, I'm talking about how the world deems it. A woman of the world is deemed successful or considered successful in many quarters of someone that self-expresses and has autonomy. Does what makes her happy. I'm not relying on anybody else. I'm not relying on children. Children are not holding me back. And so that is one of the reasons why more and more people today are not having children in our world. It's actually becoming a problem in many countries. Not in all countries, but in some. In Japan, it's a big issue because the women have been pushed in and followed careers, and now they've got a population problem. They don't have enough children being born. And the government is actually trying to change the work week to promote women to have more children. But not having children holding them back, not relying on anybody else, and I'm not relying on, if I'm married, for a worldly woman, if she's married, she's not dependent on her husband. She does not look to her husband. He definitely is not, you don't use the word that is her head, because she is autonomous, standing on her own two feet, not dependent upon anybody else. And often a woman that is considered successful in the world is one that has rejected traditional authority and traditional roles in the home. Someone that has gained achievement and recognition, maybe with education degrees, titles, awards, breaking barriers. Those characteristics of a worldly woman are those that often were driven by self-promotion, by pride, materialistic mindset, many times immodest dress, rebellious against spiritual authority, because it's very difficult to be a successful woman of the world and hold on to God's authority in life. Because, see, God emphasizes something else in the Word of God. Someone that has become independent to a fault. You see, all independence is not wrong. Please don't misunderstand. But independence to a fault, to where they are rejecting those that God has placed in our lives. Someone that oftentimes has gotten where they are through emotional and physical manipulation to get where they are in life. So that's what the world deems successful. Those are some of the characteristics that drive that. So what about God? Do you think those things I've talked about here this morning so far, do you think that's what God was looking for in Mary? How pretty is she? How independent is she? I don't want her to be dependent on Joseph. I want her to stand on her own two feet. I don't want her submitting to her husband. I want a woman that is independent. Do you think he was looking at someone that was striving for autonomy? Do you think he was looking for someone that was being motivated by selfishness? Are those the characteristics that God was looking for? Well, we look into the Word of God to see what God actually values. Things that had eternal value. So I'd like to address a few things that I would measure success of a godly woman by this. Faithfulness. Faithfulness to God. Someone that trusts in the Lord. Someone that in difficult times is on her knees. I've said frequently, and I shared with my mother again, and I have from behind the pulpit in this congregation, maybe not in this location, but I still remember as a young boy coming into the living room and those red marks across my mother's forehead. And I knew she'd been praying. She was fighting a battle on her knees. And I can say that stood her and all of us in good stead. My mother was short of stature and soft-spoken, but she was a strong woman. So I knew when I came in, Mom's been praying because her head was down. It was buried in that chair, and that left it left that red mark. I would that there are more women with red marks on their forehead today. That is where strength and grace and long-suffering and humility is found. And that's what God values this morning. You young men, a pretty face is going to lose its beauty real fast when a woman doesn't have the grace of God working in her life. So I am thankful there are still women of grace today. But that's what God was looking for in Mary. He was looking for someone that trusted in Him, someone that had a personal relationship. Someone, not someone that just came to service every once in a while, maybe all the time, but he was looking for someone. And I know I'm talking about Jesus now. God was, that was before Christ even came. But for us today, it would be translated in someone that has a personal experience. It's not just when someone is looking. It's not just when I go to service, I act a certain way and dress a certain way and conduct myself in a certain way, but this is my life. The pattern of my life because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is valuable this morning. That is the value of a godly woman. That is a successful woman. Godly character, someone that displays the fruit of the Spirit, someone that values, a woman that values purity, not just in what she says, but in how she acts, in her priorities, in her conduct, in her behavior. A woman that has integrity. When she says something, you can know that that's what's right. You don't have to second guess her word. A woman that has true humility of heart. A woman that knows how to say, I was wrong. A woman that knows how to say, I'm sorry. That's value this morning. That's what success is. See, godly women still make mistakes, don't they? Godly women still sometimes do things that they regret. But a godly woman is one that will very humbly, without justification, without pointing fingers at her husband or her children, her circumstances, will just very humbly own her conduct and say, I'm really sorry. I should have done that differently. That's valuable this morning. That's the value of a godly woman, one that can humble herself, not by show or just the words, but by the Spirit. And have you ever seen someone say they were sorry as they rolled their eyes? That's not valuable. But I'm talking about someone that means it from the heart, that it's their spirit and it's their character. Someone that is successful. The success of a godly woman is one that places priority on other people. Someone that is service-oriented. Someone that's not always focused on herself. But someone that is putting, you know, that kind of the traditional statement about a mother is that when there's not enough pieces of pie to go around, mom's not hungry. I mean, that's the gist of it. Do you realize putting others first in her life? That's success. That is not being beaten down in some traditional role that you are cowed down and can't live to your fullness. This is a woman that has conquered herself. That is valuable, where she has brought herself under submission and valued others in her love, in her care, in her sacrifice. I say that is a woman to be honored. That is a woman to be praised in the gates. That is a woman that you are proud to say, that is my mother. It's not, oh yeah, that's my mom. But a woman that is there and knows how to serve and places others first. Someone that is kind and is invested in her family, her community, in the congregation. A woman is successful is one that has accepted God's order in marriage. Not seeking for a modern-day marriage defined by the parameters that society has placed on women, but a woman who says, I want to do it God's way. I want to be the wife. I want to be the mother. I want to be a woman like the Scripture teaches me to be. A woman that is modest and has an inner beauty about her. And this 1 Peter 3 brings it out. I'll read a verse here, 1 Peter 3:3. It says, who's adorning? Now, this is scriptural. And I don't want to lessen the Scripture. I would say I'm just naive enough to believe it, but it's not naivete. I believe it just like it says it. Who's adorning? Let it not be the outward adorning. The plaiting of the hair, that's weaving in colored ribbon or gold in the hair. That's not braiding. It said, adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel or better, costly array. Costly array. Let it not be those things. That's not what determines success. That's not where value is. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, what? Of great price. This is what God sees as value. It's not someone that has spent a lot of time on the outward. And please don't take this too far the other way. Yes, there is a natural desire in a woman to look nice, and so it should be. But not to spend undue time and undue money in fixing up in ways that does not bring glory to God, but in humility and in simplicity, where the time and the attention and true beauty that does not fade is not found in what you can do on the outside, but it's found on the inner man. It's found in the character. It's found in the grace and in the love and in the humility and in the long-suffering. And that's what the Scripture says. God says, that's great price there. That's valuable. In the book of Titus, and this is another measure of success of a godly woman, in Titus 2:4, it said that they may teach the young women. He was talking about the older women. And I'd like to just go down just a short little rabbit trail, because this is often raised. You say, well, then why would you even read these scriptures? Because you're a man and not an older woman. Who was it that wrote these scriptures and was teaching this? Ever thought about that? It was Paul, wasn't it? Paul taught on these issues. And Paul was teaching the women and the older women, this is what you need to do, is to teach. A man can say it from the pulpit. And we have a long history and a long heritage of men giving instruction, godly instruction to women. And so Paul did, and so we do this morning. And yet, I cannot set an example for any of you sisters here. I can't set an example. All I can do is tell you what the Word says, but I can't set an example for you because I'm a man. And so it is for the elder women not just to teach with their mouth, but to teach by their example. To show the young women, this is what it means to be a godly woman. This is what it means to live. So he said to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, I did not get that from the New York Times or the Washington Post or NBC or CBS or anywhere else. Because you don't find this in society today. You don't find those values being promoted. And yet, what God places value on in women today are those that are sober and love their husbands and love their children. Do you see, this is almost an antithesis of what the world is promoting in our world today. Discreet, chaste, purity. And he said, keepers at home. What does that mean? It means that priority is placed on being there and taking care of the home and creating an environment of security and refuge for the children and for the husband. You know, sometimes people get in their minds that really don't understand that if you are a keeper at home, you are less capable, less intelligent, and you sit at home reading novels and eating bonbons. Do you realize that is not what the Scripture was teaching? Go to Proverbs, is it 31? Where it talks about a virtuous woman. My mother was a virtuous woman. I don't remember her sitting on the couch reading novels and eating bonbons. That's just my little terminology here. She was busy. She was working. She was industrious. She found things to do. And yet, at the time we were in public school, where many homeschool now, in this generation. But at the time when we came home from school, do you know where mom was? We didn't go to the babysitter. We didn't go to someone that they were paying to watch their children. We came home and mom was there. She was busy. She was industrious, but she was there for us when we came home because it was a priority that she keep that home and be there for her children and husband. That was a keeper at home. That's what the scripture places value in. In our world today says, no, go out and pursue your own things and be what you can be. And if you follow these traditional roles, you'll be inhibited. Do you realize that that mentality begins to cross what the Creator intended? And that's not where the greatest happiness, it's not where the best marriages, it's not where the strongest homes are found by the way the world's doing it. But it's found by the way that God said to do it. And I still believe this is right today. Now, it doesn't mean that in certain situations that it's wrong for a woman to worry. I don't want you to misunderstand me. But this is what should be first. There was never any question in my mind what was first in my mother's life. So she sacrificed things of this world to fulfill her scriptural responsibilities first. And it wasn't done begrudgingly. It wasn't done that, well, I just can't be fulfilled if I can't. No, she found fulfillment in doing God's purpose. And I want to encourage the sisters this morning, especially you young women, you fulfill God's purpose and you're going to find the greatest fulfillment in life doing it God's way. And so that is what success is determined for a godly woman. And so as we bring this to a close, we see a large divide between how the world views success for a woman and how the scripture tells us what success is for a woman. So what kind then of a woman do you think God was looking for? That's kind of where we started. Which of those two categories? Was he looking for success as the world sees it? Or was he looking for that success as we read about in the Bible? There's no question in my mind what God was looking for, because he was the one that taught us what true value was in a godly woman. So without a doubt, God favored the value, and we today, I'll speak for myself, I still today, I believe what the Bible said. I still believe it. I still teach it. And I pray that there will still be godly women who will live it. And I'm thankful there are. And I say, God bless you this morning. God bless you for living it. Because all we can do is teach it and believe it, but we can't live it. That's your call to the sisters this morning. But I still believe this, and it goes against what the world is promoting. It goes against the worldly mindset. I believe that young women, they don't know necessarily what the future holds. So a young woman that prepares herself through job training or education, I don't think it's wise for one young woman to be sitting at home doing nothing. That's not wise. So she needs to prepare herself, but never let that supersede what the scripture teaches. So then if she were to get married, she puts that other to the side and places the emphasis and value and her heart and her mind on those things that God has called for in her life. Well, as we close then, the angel told Mary that she was chosen, and I'd like to conclude with Mary's response in verse 38 of Luke 1. Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Mary, you are highly favored. And the angel gave Mary the news, and she said, "May it be unto me according to thy word." That was a life surrendered to God. If this is God's will for my life, then I say amen. And may it continue to be with the sisters here today, that you also continue to say, according to thy word, Lord, may it be. May it be according to thy word. And I will say, this is where there is so great a value. This is what we hold in great esteem this morning of godly women. So thank you all. Thank you again, you sisters, our wives, our mothers, grandmothers, sisters in the congregations, our daughters, you young women. Thank you for putting God first in your life. And let's never forget where true value is.